Hey, Scott Spears back with you here on this Wednesday, December the 19th, 2018. We're going to be joined by Pat Carroll momentarily, but I thought I enjoy doing trivia so much this time of year, and I don't know how many more chances we're going to have to do it. So I thought we would get back into our trivia here, Christmas holiday trivia. A little bit before we get to Pat Carroll. So we'll have some trivia and you on the toll-free line. Hope you enjoyed the Christmas special last night. That was a lot of fun. It always is a lot of fun, and I really do thank everybody who is a part of this station or who listens to this station. And the Christmas party really is a time to say that. And that's why we broadcast it on the air, so I hope you enjoyed it. You still have time to send a letter to Santa Claus, but the time is getting nil, as they say, just about to run out. Santa Claus, P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana, 47579. Also, don't forget, coming up tomorrow on this show, Joe Bonsall, the lead singer for the Oak Ridge Boys. Now, the Oak Ridge Boys, this coming Saturday, December 22nd, will be in Lima, Ohio, only about an hour away from here at the Krause Performance Center at 7:30 p.m. I believe there are still tickets available. Big show for the Oak Ridge Boys. 3 days before Christmas, what a way to celebrate the holiday over in Lima at the Krause Performance Center Saturday night. And the Oak Ridge Boys do a blend of Christmas music, but they also do the favorites like Elvira. So we'll talk to Joe Bonsall about that next hour. Not next hour, tomorrow. Don't want to get ahead of myself here. Now, let's get to our trivia questions, and let's see if we can get some of these answered today. Okay, we'll start with the one that everybody wants to know the answer to that we haven't quite gotten to yet, but let's start here. What is an old-fashioned term for a joke? Now, I've given you three hints, actually four hints. It's one word. It begins with the letter S. Flippo the Clown was famous for using it, very famous for using it. And I think I said the other day it rhymes with clapper. Sounds like clapper. Does anybody know what this word is? 740-383-9944. Any guesses today? Let's see. What else do we have? Oh, we have this question. We've had this for a while. What did the Pepsi-Cola company used to do at Halloween with all their brands of soda pop? Now, that would include Dr. Pepper. That would include Diet Pepsi. That would include regular Pepsi. That would include Mountain Dew. But they only did it at Halloween, and they have discontinued it since then. But what did the Pepsi-Cola company used to do with all their brands of soda at Halloween time? 740-383-9944. And this question we've had for a little while now. What was the name of the helicopter that used to fly Santa into the Southland Mall every year at holiday time? It had a name. Bill Search used to drive or fly the helicopter, I guess is what you would say. What would the name of the helicopter be that would fly Santa Claus into the Southland Mall every year, beginning at holiday time? What's the name of that helicopter? 740-383-9944. Now, here are... These questions are all very holiday-oriented, and we've had some great guesses here, but not the right answers yet. The man who came up with the drawing for Santa Claus and his sleigh also created another popular figure in history. What was the man's name who came up with Santa Claus and his sleigh, the picture of it, and what character did he create? If you looked him up, you would probably find out what other character, famous character in history that he created. Give me the man who came up with the drawing for Santa Claus and his sleigh, and tell me what other character he also created. That's a very interesting fact, that this person all did Santa and his sleigh, but also did this other figure in history. Who is that? We've had a lot of guesses on this one, too, and some were quite funny. We had a great guess yesterday. about a woman in a red dress. But here's the question. Why did Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer originally not have a red nose? When the Montgomery Ward Company originally came up with the idea for Rudolph, they wanted him to have a red nose. But they didn't give him a red nose. That happened many years later. Why did they hold off on giving Rudolph a red nose? Like I said, we've had some great funny answers to that question. But why do you think the Montgomery Ward Company, the first year they put out Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, did not give him a red nose? What's the reason for that? This question I think we just introduced on Monday. Paul McCartney, you hear the song here on the station. Paul McCartney does the Christmas song, Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time. How much money does Paul McCartney make off of that song every year? Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, it's got on that joke. He said the word, a rhyme with clapper. Would it be a snapper?
It is a snapper. You got it. Yes. Yeah. Do you remember Flippo saying the clown always gets the snappers?
Yeah, well, I kept thinking about that, and then when you brought up about a rhyme,
That's what it was. Yep. An old-fashioned joke was called a snapper. Well, hey, thank you for calling in, Bob.
All right.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Yes, that is, we finally got the answer. I guess the rhymed with took it. It was called a snapper. And if you ever watched Flippo, the clown, out of WBNS television in Columbus, Ohio, one of his famous sayings was when somebody else would tell a joke on his show, he would say the clown always gets the snappers. And if you watch Johnny Carson on somewhat of a regular basis when he was hosting The Tonight Show, you would have heard him say, I do the snappers. So it was kind of a way to say when somebody else got a laugh, that I got the joke. But it was called a snapper. Now, is everybody happy? We finally have the answer to that one. An old-fashioned term, one word, begins with an S. Flippo the Clown became famous for using it. It became his catchphrase. The term is a snapper. The clown always gets the snappers. Now we can put that one to bed. Now, does anybody have the answers to any other questions today? We're on a good roll today now, because that was a long-term question. The question I was in the middle of there was, Paul McCartney, the Beatle, has a very popular Christmas song, Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time. And it plays on this station, and you hear it on other stations this time of year. They'll probably ban it soon, because that's what we're doing now with Christmas songs. But it was that song that Paul McCartney did originally was thought of to not be one of his great songs. It was thought of to not be very popular. So the question is, to this day, how much does Paul McCartney make off that song every year, Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time? Now, it's interesting because it's a round number. It's not like to the dollar. So if you guess a round figure, you'll get the answer. But how much does Paul McCartney make every year, because they play it every year, off the Christmas song, Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time? How much does Paul McCartney make off that song, which again was thought of not to be one of his better songs? 740-383-9944. But he does own that song. You know, Michael Jackson purchased the Beatles catalog, and then somebody else got the Beatles catalog. So a lot of their songs, I don't think Paul McCartney gets a lot of royalties from. But those songs, like Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time, and some of the other great songs he did, he gets all the royalties. So how much money do you think Paul McCartney makes off that one song every year, Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time? Let me know. So we got a question answered. So I tell you what, I'll throw a new question in here too. We have another Christmas-themed question. Why? Oh, this is a fun one. I'm interested to hear the answers on this one. Why did Denny's restaurant have a problem with Christmas Day? when Denny's was first opening up, they had a problem with Christmas Day. What was the problem? This is such an interesting question. You could guess this. This is not something you would have to look up. But why did Denny's restaurant, when they first were opening up across the country, have a problem with Christmas Day? What did Denny's not like about Christmas? This is a fun answer. 740-383-9944. Does anybody have the answers? Now, we still have some things to give away here. We have a CRT insulated coffee mug. And by the way, these Columbus Zoo Wild Lights tickets, I looked at this morning. The zoo tickets do not end at Christmas. The zoo lights go on through January the 6th. So you can still go to the zoo lights through the 6th of January. So you could give these as a Christmas gift, and people would still have time to go.
Go ahead, caller.
Does Paul make maybe $1 million on their song?
Not a million. Not a million. Not quite a million.
Oh, okay.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, the question is, how much does Paul McCartney make every year off the song Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time, which again was thought of as not to be a very popular song of his? But how much does he make a year off that song? And the new question today, what problem did Denny's restaurant originally have with Christmas? When Denny's was first opening up around the country, the chain, there was a problem they had with the Christmas holiday. What was it? 740-383-9944. And like again I was saying about the Columbus Zoo tickets, this is something that maybe people don't know. The zoo lights down in Columbus do not end on Christmas. They actually go through January the 6th. So if you won a pair of these tickets and wanted to go after Christmas, you have a whole nother 2 weeks to go see the zoo wild lights. Or you could give the lights as a gift, because the zoo lights go on through January the 6th. So we still have pairs of those tickets to give away. 740-383-9944. Does anybody know the answers? We still have the hamburger to McDonald's as well, and we have the Huntsman Auto Oil Change, 5 quarts of non-synthetic oil for automobiles only, and we have ice cream cones from McDonald's. Not bad today. An ice cream cone would be good today. Apple slices, milk jugs, CRT insulated coffee mugs. So we still have a pretty fair amount of items to give away. Oh, we still have one of these big candy canes, about the size of a ruler, 12 inches, full of Hershey Kisses. We still have one of those left. So is anybody going to call in and win something today? What did the Denny's restaurant chain, what was their problem with Christmas Day when they first opened up? How much money does Paul McCartney make on the song Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time every year? Why did Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer originally not have a red nose when the Montgomery Ward Company introduced him? The man who came up with the drawing of Santa Claus and his sleigh also came up with another famous figure in history. Who was that other famous figure? That's kind of interesting, because these two figures, in my mind, don't go together. 740-383-9944. What was the name of the helicopter that used to fly Santa Claus into the Southland Mall each year? Can't believe we haven't got the answer to that one yet. Or this one. What did the Pepsi Cola Company used to do special at Halloween with all their brands of soda? Now, I've told you, it has to do with advertising. And it was all the brands. So if you were a drinker of Dr. Pepper or Mountain Dew or Diet Pepsi or regular Pepsi, you would have noticed this. It has to do with advertisement at Halloween time for the Pepsi Cola Company. 740-383-9944. And I tell you what, I'm going to throw in another new question today just to make it fun, because we have Christmas trivia here, and who knows how much longer we'll be able to do this. How many states are Christmas trees grown in? Now, there's one for you. You'd be able to guess that. How many states in the United States are Christmas trees grown in? Does anybody know the answer? 740-383-9944. How many states of our 50 states are Christmas trees grown in? Here's another one for you. What were the first decorations on Christmas trees? When Christmas trees were first starting to be used in society, what were they first decorated with? Does anybody know that? So those are the two new questions today. What were Christmas trees originally decorated with? Does anybody know what Christmas trees were originally decorated with? How many trees are states? We'll get back to that one. Go ahead, caller.
Okay, were the trees decorated with popcorn?
Not popcorn, but that's a good guess.
Okay.
Thank you.
Not popcorn. The question is, when Christmas trees were originally developed, what were Christmas trees originally decorated with? Does anybody know what Christmas trees were originally decorated with? Or does anybody know how many of our 50 states that Christmas trees are grown in? How many of the 50 states are Christmas trees grown in? Does anybody know that? How about the Paul McCartney song, Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time? How much money does Paul McCartney make off that song every year? When the Montgomery Ward Company created Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, why did they not give him a red nose in the beginning? Why didn't they do that? The man who came up with Santa Claus and his sleigh also came up with another famous character. The man who drew Santa and his sleigh also came up with another famous character in history. Who was it? 740-383-9944. And I tell you what, we are going to continue on today. And at holiday time, you want to be joined on the program with people who feel like family. And one of my favorite absolute people, guests of all time, is a lady we visit with at Thanksgiving. We visit with her on Cinco de Mayo, which happens to be her birthday, and we visit with her at Christmas time. It just isn't Christmas unless we chat with the most wonderful, kind lady, in my opinion, who ever lived, the best laugh in the world, Emmy Award-winning actress who you probably best remember as the voice of Ursula in The Little Mermaid, or the Danny Thomas Show, Sid Caesar. What a pleasure it is in the holidays to welcome the amazing Pat Carroll. Pat, how are you?
I'm wonderful, Scott. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you.
I was outside the door doing my nails. Just to call you, that shows you how important you are.
My goodness. Well, Pat, as I say, at the holiday time, because family is very important, you have begun to feel like family, and I'm so happy we get to talk for these 25 minutes.
Oh, aren't you nice to say that? What a dear thing to say, and I so enjoy talking with you. So you see, it's a pleasure that is shared by both of us.
Beautiful. Now, Pat, how has the Christmas season been for you this year?
Well, just so far, so good. The only thing is, I'm not in Los Angeles with my daughters and granddaughter, but I'm here on Cape Cod where I love living, and that's marvelous, and travel is very difficult for me these days. So that's why I can't scooter back there for the holidays. And travel is no longer enjoyable. It is a chore. It is uncomfortable. It's miserable. And so I think, as much as I miss seeing my daughters and granddaughter, to go through the travel is just backbreaking. Mm. So I'm going to have to go at another time in the year, because travel is no longer gracious, Scott. It's just not gracious. And it's very difficult for an older person, and I see other older people traveling, and they look as miserable as I feel. So it's just not something I cherish. And because Christmas is so special, and I would prefer to be with my family, I just can't seem to get through that chore of getting there.
I think a lot of people can certainly understand and sympathize with that.
Well, travel is just no longer a gracious nor an enjoyable thing. It is fraught with all kinds of trepidatious matter. And I just don't enjoy traveling anymore.
I certainly understand. Now, Pat, are you a person this year who did Christmas cards, or do you buy Christmas presents? Are you involved in any of that?
Well, I have done Christmas cards, old Christmas cards that I've had for a long time, and I'm slowly whittling them down. That shows you how many I ordered. But I do send cards. I love sending cards because I love getting them. I get presents for close family and close friends, and that covers the whole field, doesn't it?
Now, at this point in your life, Pat, do you shop online? Do you go to the stores? When you get these presents, what do you normally do?
I order them because I cannot shop. I just physically can't go through that ungracious, difficult chore. It's just no fun because it's just difficult. So I don't enjoy doing that. If I can't order it, I don't go out and mingle with the dear people like me who are trying to buy something to show the people we love that we do love them.
Absolutely. Now, Pat, do you decorate your home where you live there on Cape Cod?
No, we have not decorated this year, and I think it's because the weather has not been conducive to that kind of inward activity, so we have not decorated at all, and I must say I'm rather grateful. I think unless you are entertaining, I don't find it satisfying just to decorate for me. And unless I'm decorating to entertain friends and family, I don't do it.
I completely understand. Now, staying there in Cape Cod for the holiday, do you have any holiday plans?
No, holiday plans are just living in this wonderful home of mine here and enjoying the season and having people in for a drink or a visit or a cup of tea or whatever would please them. God love them, because I've made some wonderful friends over the years here on Cape Cod. They're such good people. They're hospitable, they're gracious, they're full of adventure, and I cherish all of them. So it's great fun for me, and I enjoy doing it. I only wish my daughters and granddaughter were here.
You know, Pat, interestingly enough, last time we talked, right before Thanksgiving, you made an announcement that we had not heard before, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about that here, that after, a tremendous career, movies, stage, television, voiceover work, that you thought that this would be your final year in the acting profession.
I think so. I think it's about time. It's the wise person who knows when to retire after a good, wonderful career. And I think I am that lady who is ready to retire from theatrical activity. As much as I have adored my profession, there is always a time for you to say bye-bye.
When your fan mail comes, Pat, primarily, what do people remember? Do they remember Ursula, Sid Caesar, or is it a mix?
It's an absolute mix, Scott, because don't forget I've been doing this for how many years? 40? I think so. And I have done, I think, work in every theatrical medium there is. And I have enjoyed all of it. I have cherished all of it. I have giggled and laughed and enjoyed all of it. And it's time for me to kind of pack up my goodies and my makeup box. and disappear. Because there's a time for everybody to retire, and I think it's my time. And it's not that I haven't enjoyed every second of it, but it's time for me to pack all that away with happy memories and to relax and not be on a time schedule anymore.
Is there any sense, because I know acting was your hobby, your profession, what you wanted to do all your life, is there any melancholiness, maybe sadness that this will be it?
No, not at all. As I say, there is a time for everyone to retire from the work they've been doing. I think it's a gift from God that allows you to do that. And I cherish every second that I've worked in this profession. It's what I wanted to do since I was 12 years old. And I have done it. And I thank the good Lord above for allowing me to exercise that privilege. And it has been a privilege. It hasn't been a chore. And I have enjoyed and continue to enjoy because I answer the dear notes and letters and cards that people send me to say that they've enjoyed this or they've enjoyed that. And I'm so grateful for people taking time, important time, out of their lives to write me a little note to let me know that, and I'm very grateful for it. And I want to thank everyone over the years who have been so kind to drop me a note or have talked to me in public or whatever to say that they've enjoyed the work I've done, because I certainly have. So I'm grateful to know that it was well received by people.
You know, Pat, when there is something you've done on television, I see you a lot on the old game shows, and certainly...
Oh, yes.
Oh, they're beautiful.
Oh, I did enjoy doing those, because I love games. I love games.
Oh, they're so fun to watch. Did you ever like to watch yourself on television?
Not particularly, because I've done it already. You know, so it's just, it becomes kind of an affectation to watch yourself. I mean, I did that work. I don't have to sit and watch it and mull over it. I'm just very grateful to have done everything I've done theatrically since I was 12 years old. I have been grateful for all the marvelously gifted, talented, and kind people I've worked with. And certainly all the audiences have been so generous and so kind and so wonderful. I've had a good life, Scott. I have no complaints. I thank the good Lord every day for leading me where he wanted me to go.
Absolutely. Now, Pat, on the Christmas note, when you were a little girl growing up in Louisiana and then in California, what were Christmases like?
Christmases were always so exciting because my mother made them so. I hope everybody feels this way, but I had the most marvelous mother in the world. She made everything fun. She was a sociable lady. She was a debutante from the South, so she always had that kind of charm, and she made everything fun. And Christmases were especially fun because she went out of her way to decorate our house until you almost could not move in it. But it was all done with such good taste and fun and beauty. And, it was wonderful. She made Christmases wonderful, as she did Thanksgivings as well. And Valentine's Day. My mother was a sociable lady. And she loved to entertain people. She loved to give parties. She had a bridge group that met every week. She was a Southern social belle. She had been presented to society when she was 18, and she never forgot it. She had a ball. I never met a woman in my life more appreciative of social life than my mother. She adored it. She adored entertaining people. She loved being entertained. And she was a marvelous social creature. I wish half of it had sprung off on me, but I'm not as good at it as my mother was. Oh, she was a wonderful hostess. She knew what being a hostess was supposed to be, and she did it exquisitely. Oh, golly. I used to watch her hostess of social affairs at our house. And the woman had such grace and such affability and such good manners. Oh, she was a lesson, a social lesson. And I run into some of her friends who are still alive, and they all remember her as a person who adored being social. And she did. She loved it.
Now, what kind of a guy was your father?
My father was a 6'3", handsome Southern man who used to shock ladies when he was out doing business, you know, in the city or whatever, because his manners were so southerly and so gentlemanly that the ladies used to be shocked. They would stop and stare at him. He was a handsome man to begin with, but his manners were impeccable. He was a Southern gentleman, and he let the world, especially the ladies, know it. And you could see them almost, they should have had fans in their hands. They were fanning themselves from the absolute sheer excitement of being treated so handsomely by this gorgeous 6'3" man. Oh, he was a handsome person.
Now, Pat, did you have any kind of relationship when you were younger with your grandparents? Were they still around?
My grandmother was. My grandfather died when I was probably 8 because my mother and I trained down to see him off, away from this world. And I remember that because it was such a sad trip. But he never made anything sad. He used to drive me in his little Ford coupe and sing Irish songs to me. And we would laugh, and he had still a little brogue. And he was so adorable. He was like my mother. He had tiny hands, tiny feet. A petite man, not tall at all. And with his little Irish brogue, he was a piece of work, he was. And I so enjoyed being with him, and he used to sing me little Irish songs in the car. Some I knew and we'd sing together, and others he'd sing to me until I learned them. Oh, he was a piece of work, my grandpa was.
Now, your grandmother, what kind of woman was she?
Oh, my God, if my mother was social, my grandmother should have been leading the register of all societies across the United States. She was an extraordinary social creature. She had the energy, she had the stuff in her. And I remember taking my grandmother and two of her elderly friends to Las Vegas. Well, Las Vegas never knew what hit them. Those three ladies almost broke every slot machine they played at. They stood at the crap tables, intrigued until they finally began betting. It was a pleasure to follow them around in Las Vegas, my grandmother and her two elderly friends, because everybody joined around them. They had that kind of energy that fed off being who they were. I have never laughed so hard in Las Vegas as I did with my grandmother and her two elderly friends. Mm. They were extraordinary. People began following them around. Oh, my golly. What good times. My grandmother was very special. Her name was Julia, but from the time I was a little girl, the first time I heard Julia, I couldn't pronounce it, so I called her Juju. And she was Juju ever since until the day she died. And that woman was hysterical. We would laugh till the tears would come down our faces. She was such fun, and it didn't make any difference what age you were, because all the years I was growing up, as my age changed, nothing ever changed about my grandma. Juju was a piece of work. God made her very special. She made me laugh till the tears would come down my face. And my little grandpa was a tiny man. He was like my mother, tiny feet, tiny hands, delicate. And he wasn't, I think, but 5 or so feet tall. And everything about him was delicate, his hands, his little feet. He, as a person, he was not tall at all. He was a very slight little man, but oh, what a charmer he was.
Now, Pat, one of the things that is so synonymous with you, and we certainly pick it up on radio, we certainly picked it up with Ursula and a lot of the other great characters you did, you have such a great voice and pronunciation. Where did that come from?
That came from being taught by the nuns, who insisted that if we did nothing else, we enunciated. And we would have speech classes, and they were very careful about diction. And I went to Catholic schools 12 years of my life to the same order of nuns, the Immaculate Heart Order. I almost entered that order, as a matter of fact, because of their wonderful example, those great women. And I think one sister that I had had been in love with acting, so consequently her diction was superb. I've never heard anyone with better diction, including professional actors. And she was very enthusiastic about all of our being good at speaking the English language well, with diction, enunciation, the rest of it. And she was a prime example to me when I was in grade school because of her diction, because of her enunciation, because of the way she handled the English language. And she was the first teacher who made me pay attention to our magnificent language, which it is.
It certainly is. When you had little kids at home, Pat, what were Christmases like when they were little?
Well, I think I'm just going to reflect what most mothers would say. They were hysterical, exhausting, and the greatest fun in the world. Children know what the Christmas spirit means, and they enjoy it, they relish it, they look forward to it, and nobody has a better time. I looked forward to Christmases because of my kids. They made me enjoy it instead of be exhausted by it. I just had such fun. And it was so wonderful to reflect their enthusiasm and pleasure at the holiday. And I think nobody relishes it more than kids.
I think you're exactly right. I was reading something the other day. I thought it's kind of interesting that I think it's 67% of people still regard Christmas as a religious holiday, which I think is good.
Oh, well, it's correct.
Yes.
That's what it is. Christmas is a religious holiday, like it or not.
So growing up with Catholic teachings and growing up being taught by nuns, what is the religious significance of Christmas in your life?
The birth of Jesus Christ. Based on your religious beliefs, your Savior, the greatest example in the world. And I remember my father spent his life relishing the sisters because I was crying one day at school, and Sister Marina, my favorite nun who taught me from the first grade on, said, "Patsy, why are you crying?" And I said, "Because my daddy doesn't have a job." My father had a job within 4 days. One of her cousins worked at the Department of Water and Power in Los Angeles, and my father was called in because Sister Marina called this cousin, and he got a job and had it for 40 years.
Wow. What a great story.
And you think I don't believe in nuns? And I often use that story of Sister Marina's kindness in taking the tears of a little child and making them disappear.
You know, Pat, it's interesting because people who have an upbringing like that seem to learn a lot of lessons that maybe people who don't have that kind of upbringing don't learn. What do you think you learned most from having nuns and Catholic schooling? What did it help you with through your life?
Everything. Number one, the education was superb. Those teaching nuns from any order, but I always attended the Immaculate Heart Order, and those nuns were brilliant teachers. I still relish some of the things I learned under the tutelage of those Immaculate Heart nuns. They were magnificent teachers, and I had them up through college. I went to Immaculate Heart College, and I started in the first grade with those nuns. But they were magnificently trained, brilliantly educated, and they taught like geniuses. And I must say, I ascribe most of the good things in my life to the teachings of those nuns, because they looked out every aspect of our lives as the students under them, and they were giving and wonderful educators, and I am just so grateful that my life was handled, because it was handled by them. They were wonderful, wonderful teachers.
You know, Pat, at Christmas time, one of the major parts of Christmas for everybody is the music.
Of course.
And you being a great singer, Poor Unfortunate Souls from The Little Mermaid.
Thank you for remembering that.
Oh, a classic. And some of the singing you did on The Sid Caesar Show and Jimmy Durante. What kind of Christmas music do you like to hear?
Christmas carols.
Yeah.
And I don't care whether they're English or American or French or what they are, but every language and every country has a certain attitude about Christmas that comes out in their music more than anything else. And I love the music of Christmas, and I love choirs at Christmas. Choral music at Christmas to me is so special, particularly children's choirs or boys' choirs. And I love all of that music. It's just so Christmas.
It is, and there are so many things. I remember years ago, you and I were having a conversation about gift wrapping, about how neither one of us knew what in the world we were doing.
No, and I still don't. I haven't changed one bit.
Yeah, Pat, now that you are retired from acting, what do you plan to do? Do you have hobbies or things you stay busy with?
No, I have no hobbies, but I am in the process of doing what I'm planning to do, which is write my book.
Oh.
And it's simply called Patsy.
I love it.
Well, that was the name that I was known by when I was a little girl. Always was. I never knew. I wasn't called Pat. I wasn't called Patricia, except by the nuns. I was called Patsy. And that's the name of my book, and that's what I'm working on. And it's about my life. What else do you write about with such interest and intrigue as you do your own life? And I am having such fun. I don't care if it ever sees the light of day, my children will have it. And it says everything about each period of my life. And I remember way back to being on a scooter in El Paso, Texas, and riding army horses at Fort Bliss there, because my mother was the liaison for the school at the fort. I remember so many wonderful things. And my mother managed apartment buildings while I was a child growing up. And I remember those buildings, and I remember her assistant managers. And my mother made everything wonderful. Life was an adventure to my mother. She was an extraordinarily bright lady. She had such a sense of life as an adventure, and I think she fed me some of that in with my cereal.
You know, Pat, when you get to this point, when you retire from acting, when you're writing the book, when you are 5 months away from the big 9-2, and you live this life, what do you look back now as you reflect writing this book? What have you learned about life? What is the secret to this life?
Kindness. That above all things, and it's being lost in our society, kindness. And that's from each to every. Kindness. It is such a forgotten virtue, and it's so simple, and yet for many people it's very hard. But the finest thing in life is kindness.
You know, Pat, when I look back at these years we've been doing interviews in person and over the telephone... we've had fun. And there's a line to this day that I can be somewhere and it'll pop in my head because it was one of the funniest things. We were doing an interview. It's probably been 4 or 5 years ago now, and I was doing the introduction. And I always say wonderful things because they're true. And I was, she's kind.
Oh, you're very kind.
But this was timing. I was, you know, she's great, talented, kind, wonderful. And I was giving this introduction. I said, ladies and gentlemen, Pat Carroll. And you came on and said, oh, Scott, after you said all those nice things, now I'm going to have to be a real bitch.
Oh, my God. And what did I say?
That's what you said. You said that. You said that to me.
Was I? Did I become a real bitch?
No, you didn't. You were still kind. But after I did the intro, I said, and now Pat Carroll. And you said, Scott, after you said all those nice things, now I'm going to have to be a real bitch.
That's funny. Oh, I do like that.
Oh.
That sounds like my mother, I swear to you. In fact, I think half of my life was stolen from my mother because I was so fascinated by her growing up. And particularly in my teen years, because she was such a wonderful example. Her humor was extraordinary, but her naughtiness was divine. You could see in those beautiful blue Irish eyes the naughtiness come into her.
The thing about that...
She would act so naughty and be so hysterically funny. My mother made me laugh more than anybody in the world.
What the thing about that, to me, that stands out so irreverently about it is first of all, it's a funny line that you gave, and I gave you the perfect setup with all those nice things. But
of course.
But the other thing about it was, all the interviews we've done, all the time we've talked off the air, I had never heard you use a naughty word. And when it came out, I just about...
Well, you see how nicely the nuns raised me. And God bless those nuns. I tell you, every day of my life, I am so grateful that God put me in their hands and that my parents did. They gave me such examples of worth, goodness, attention, discipline. Those were wonderful women. I almost joined the order because of their example. But thank God, God saved me for show business.
Thank God for us as well. And Pat, I know the career, you've hung that up, and I think there is a right time, but I hope the interviews will go on because I love them.
You know my mouth is not going to retire.
Oh, I hope not. Pat.
And you know I love to talk about everything, Scott, and you've been such fun over the years. You've been so enjoyable. You've asked so many good questions, and I have so loved our interviews.
Well, Pat, as I always say, you have a dear spot in my heart, and I can't wait for the big 9-2 on the Cinco de Mayo. And whether it's in person or on the telephone, I'm always looking forward to the next time we talk.
Oh, me too, Scott, and may you have a most Merry Christmas and a new year that is beyond all measure of goodness.
You too. Thank you, Pat.
Righto, Scott.
Bye-bye. Bye.
There's a wonderful lady, Pat.
BWGH Radio 106.
We're done. Have a great day.
Affordable Event Games, LLC.